This is CCFM 107.5.
You know, I do a lot of community-focused interviews, and today I'm going to introduce you to a special lady and the organization that she represents, and they're doing fantastic work, and always love to connect with people such as Jill Corrales. And Jill, welcome to LTC.
Thank you so much, Marco. Great to be here.
It's good to have you on the show, and firstly, congratulations with your mayoral award for you and the organization, The Father's Heart, and welcome.
Thank you so much.
And good to have you here, of course, and love to hear your stories and to know what you guys are doing. A lot of times we can't be where you guys are at, but I love to connect with people on the ground that's making real change out there and changing lives for good. So, Jill, let's talk about The Father's Heart. I really love the name of the organization. But let's talk more about, firstly, a little bit about you and your husband, I think, who's equally pivotal in what's happening with The Father's Heart.
Yes. So my husband and I co-founded The Father's Heart Community Development in early 2019. We formally established the organization. Really, after just being called by God, he actually spoke to us a couple of years ago already. And originally, we ran quite far. It was quite a big vision. And, you know, you always say, use us, Lord.
Mm.
And then when he tells you exactly how, you're almost like, oh, okay, wait. You know, but we played the big prayers because we always felt, you know, we wanted God to use us. And we always knew we've always had a heart for orphan and vulnerable children, particularly, and fatherless children in particular as well. And so we skipped out. We couldn't run from God anymore. And when he started pretty much screaming at us at the end of 2018, we realized that, you know, now is the time, either obedience or we walk away.
Yeah.
And so we stepped out and we left our corporate jobs and we started The Father's Heart, which the name was sort of twofold. It was something that we were praying about.
Mm.
And God gave us that name specifically, but also tied in exactly with what we were hoping to achieve. You know, yeah. Majority of the social ills in our country is caused by the fact that there are no fathers.
Yeah.
And these children don't have an identity. They don't have fathers to guide them and show them the heart of the father and be good examples.
Yeah.
And so that's where all of that comes from. And so, you know, what we try to do through our organization, you know, besides on a practical level, the different interventions and programs that we run, is to basically disciple the children. So as an orphan and vulnerable child care organization, it is providing interventions and programs to support foster families, foster moms, and the children in their care, but also to show them the heart of the Father, to disciple them to know who God is, and to just reestablish their identity and purpose in God, and then restore healthy, loving family environments, because that's really God's design for family.
And there's a particular stat that I wanted to share a little bit later on the state of fatherlessness in South Africa especially, and maybe we're not aware of the consequences of a stat like that, but let's keep that in our back pocket for now. I want to get into some of the other aspects of what you are about, and I love the fact that you've named it The Father's Heart, and God says that he's got good plans for us, and he's got a hope and a future for all of us.
Amen.
And when I see what you guys are about, I always love the fact that we can go from potential to purpose, right? And we're speaking about accomplishing goals and the like. I want to talk to you about the opportunities that you guys try to give to people to fulfill their God-given potential. Let's talk about that. Why is that so important, Jill?
Well, Mark, you know, the biggest problem in our country is that there's this perpetual cycle of inequality and exploitation and abuse that is plaguing many of our children in South Africa. And we felt that we are driven to try and help these children and change their futures and try and give them a hope for their future, you know, and to know that God has not forgotten them, you know, specifically in the community that we work in, which is the Santa Graal, just outside of Durbanville. When we first went in and started working on the ground with the people in the community, the one thing that kept on popping up was forgotten people. We are the forgotten people. We spoke to other organizations that, you know, and they would say, oh, yes, we forgot about them.
Sure.
And it just became this identity that we took on, and we were like, no, but you are not forgotten. God has not forgotten you. And so it's so important to show people, and especially children that are rising up, you know, I think with the older generation, sometimes it's quite difficult because they're already quite set in their ways. They've gone through a lot of trauma themselves, and they don't feel like, you know, that they can change. So it's almost more difficult. But a child, you know, who comes, even a child that's gone through trauma, I mean, we work with children that have been taken out of their homes and they've been through such severe abuse and neglect. You can't even understand how this child is still standing, but yet alone they smile, they fight, they want to, you know, they've got this drive in them to still have some hope.
Yeah.
And it's so much easier to actually to give that to them. And if you provide the resources, you provide the love, you provide the care, and you just see how a child completely blossoms and blooms. And yeah. So that's what we're about, just giving them all the opportunities and resources and bringing it to them to help them change their future and giving them every possible tool that they need
yeah.
to be able to be who God called them to be and to live out their purpose and plan. Because most of them don't know that.
Yeah.
You know, they don't realize that there is a plan and purpose no matter what their background yes. and all of those types of things. So that's really what drives us, to see them fulfill their plan and purpose in Jesus Christ.
I think that a lot of us, especially when we're young, we struggle with those type of things, and especially when the resources are not there. And it's not a crutch, it's not an excuse,
mm-hmm.
but if you're there, if you're there and you know what it is when you want to accomplish things in life, to become somebody, to fulfill your purpose, and the struggle is always there, and it speaks to self-worth a little bit later, because now you're comparing and you're thinking, I'm never going to make it. But we want to speak to the value and the worth of somebody, and you want
Absolutely.
To be able to say to them, you can do it, and with that you can pay it forward to others. And I commend you guys for doing all of that. Let's get into just, you know, I think in the last couple of years you've accomplished quite a bit, but let's talk about what you do day to day, and then I also want to celebrate you a little bit later. But typically what happens at the Father's house, our Father's house, on a day-to-day basis?
So basically, our model is very holistic, as I said, working with foster families and orphan and vulnerable children. So we've got different pillars that we look at. So one of them is training and equipping parents. So that looks like parent training, trauma competent care training specifically for the foster parents, skills development, making sure that the foster families actually have an income. So we will send a foster mother, for example, who is not working, and just depending on a grant, we will send them for training, we will find them a job, so that she can actually, you know, have the income to care for the child, the yeah. children in her care, and to be able to put a meal on the table. You know, our model is really built on a hand up and not a handout.
Yeah.
We want these families to be independent of us and to be self-sustaining, so we provide all the tools in order to do that. And then there's also leadership training and mentoring. You know, we work a lot, like I said, very holistically. So it's also personal development, changing your mind, your mindset, and how do you build, and even providing counseling for parents that need it. Because, you know, you need a whole parent to look after a child. And then we've got our growing and developing children. What that looks like is we actually run after school programs every day in Versantical. We've got an office, a premises that we're currently leasing. We are building a child, the Versantical Child and Youth Development Center that's in process. But we have leased premises at the moment. And we run our after-school programs from there. So the children come to us every afternoon. They get a hot, nutritious meal. Then they get help with schoolwork. We do tutoring. And then there's talent development.
Mm.
So that looks like arts and crafts, dance, sports, computers, those type of things. And then we also make sure that we develop the children as well. So we've got Bible studies. There is mentorship programs for girls and boys. There'll be ad hoc workshops with regards to issues that particularly plague them, like truancy, gangsterism,
yeah.
drug addiction, teenage pregnancies, those type of things.
Yeah.
And then, of course, providing access to quality education, the social protection and support of our most vulnerable, being our widows and our orphans. So we have an intimate foster family program, but we also provide these interventions and programs where we can to the greater community. So if we're running for, per se, a parenting program, you know, we invite other parents that would like to have access to that also to be included on that. Once we have our center, we can accommodate many more children, because currently we're quite impacted by space. Then we will be able to open up to not just foster families and not just foster children, because in essence, the community that we work in has thousands of vulnerable children with absolutely no access to resources or after-school programs or any infrastructure actually or anything for them. And then job creation and skills, like I mentioned, is specifically for our foster moms to make sure that they can provide food and put food on the table and shelter for the children in the care. But also that, again, extends, you know, when we have our center, we'll have socioeconomic hubs that will be on there, like a bakery, a coffee shop, sewing facility.
Yeah.
And that will be given to, firstly, to our foster moms, but then it will be opened up to sort of your low-skilled adults who maybe can't go into your normal job, unemployed youth.
Yeah.
So we will actually train them up, currently doing training already, but we'll train them up and then find a job placement for them. And so that's basically our, in a nutshell, the type of services that we provide.
I think you need a bigger nutshell because there's a lot more to it. And I've actually taken a look at your Facebook page as well. And the one thing that you may be underplaying in regards to land and buying land, just in brief, I know you're leasing at the moment, but you also have land and made possible through lots of people and different ways of getting there, but you have land.
Yes, it was actually, Marco, it was such a miraculous story. I wish I had more time to share all of it. But you know, the last year has been quite difficult for us. I mean, COVID hit everybody and impacted everybody financially, and we weren't, you know, it didn't miss us. So during the year, trying to make sure that we were still operational, being able to run all our programs, support all our families, etc. And at the same time, you know, trying to make sure that we stayed true to the vision that God had given us, which was to build this center so that we could impact more children. You know, He kept on saying to us, extend your tent pegs, you know, strengthen your poles, because more children. And we were like, okay, Lord, how? You know, fundraising for land during a pandemic, not so great.
Yeah.
And we had a sale agreement to buy just over 6,000 square meters worth of land in the center of the Santa Claus to build a center. And the time was coming closer and closer where we needed to have the, it was 575,000 rand in order to purchase that land. And just through miracle upon miracle of God just sending people to do that, to partner with us and give us the money for that.
Yeah.
So we had like some key stakeholders, like Bright Hardware, which is a long-term partner for our building project as a whole, not just for the land. There was Swiss Re Africa, the New Trust, Durbanville Town Center, and so many of the people from the Santa Claus that actually work at the Town Center. Excuse me. So it's just been amazing. I mean, it literally came down to the wire that the day before we were due to pay the final payment for that land, according to our contract, somebody contacted us and said that he had been, God had told him to raise money in his personal capacity for this land.
Sure.
He didn't tell us, we didn't know. And he had 75,000 rand for us that he wanted. So he wanted to know, do we need it? And 75,000 rand was exactly what we were short of. So he paid that money into us a Friday afternoon. It cleared in our account for Sunday. Sunday we paid it over into the lawyer's account. It cleared Monday morning, and that was the last day. Monday evening was the end of our deadline.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, it's just, you know, stories like that. We are just so overwhelmed by God's grace and His love and His mercy and His provision. You know, and it just stirred our faith up because it's not easy. Yeah. It hasn't been an easy year.
Yeah.
And there are still times where we were like nail-biting, like, Jesus, where are you?
Yeah.
But just to see how He's come through and how He has miraculously provided, especially for that land and for all our staff and all our families.
Yeah.
We just know that we know that we know that this is His vision. It is what He wants and that He will bring it to pass.
It's amazing.
And so we're just so grateful for all the people that He has brought already to actually partner with us financially.
Yeah.
Because it's His people that He uses, you know.
Yeah.
And so we're grateful for all those people that were obedient and stepped out in faith and obedience to actually partner with us. So, yeah, we're excited, very excited about the next steps.
Love it.
And we currently have plans being drawn up and for council submission. And then, yeah, we wait for God to do His thing.
Isn't it amazing when He shows you that He's aware of you, that He knows your needs, and He knows it before you even ask. And when you doubt, sometimes you can look back at your memory stones and say, oh, yeah, that was the time it came through. We'll do it again. And I love the story. And I don't have enough time with you, though. We need to get into quickly your Mandela Day initiative. We can do that in brief. And I think we need to save just some more time. But let's talk about this awesome initiative that you have.
Yes. So I'm sure many people know that the Mandela Day is coming up next week, Sunday, the 18th of July. And it's actually, it's a global call to action for everybody, that every individual can actually make a difference and make an impact. And so we were thinking, we know that there's so many people that do actually want to do something and want to give back, but they don't know how. And especially because of COVID and the levels that we're on, it's very difficult to now go out of your home and do something. And so we thought, how could we make it practical for people to actually still make an impact and get involved? So we decided on a cupcake for a cause initiative. And what that means is that we're asking everybody, families, get the kids involved, on next week Sunday, to spend your 67 minutes baking cupcakes. So you can decide how many you'd like to do, whether it's a batch of 12 or 24 or 48. You then take those cupcakes and you sell them to friends, family, colleagues, whatever the case may be, at whatever cost you want to, whether it's 10 Rand or 12 Rand or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And then you then donate those proceeds to us. So you can find our website detail. Our banking details will be, you can find them either on our website or we'll post it on social media.
Yeah.
And the money that we raise from those cupcakes will ensure that we can continue our good work in the community, because it is crucial. The services that we provide, the access to social development and social workers and counseling and psychologists for all the kids and all of those things, it costs money.
Yeah.
And so it will ensure that our kids can continue with their therapy, that our doors can stay open, that all the members from the community that we've trained up that are working with us, because that's where we get our staff complement from, that they can continue to get an income, and so that we can continue doing that as well as, while we're raising the funds for our building project.
Yeah. And you guys are doing an amazing work, but don't just take my word for it. I'll take the mayor's word for it. And of course, you have received an award for organization for an organization whose focus is hands-on solutions with community issues. And so, why doesn't that surprise us that you would get that award? I think your work speaks for itself. And I want to say congratulations to you and your husband and the team. I'm pretty sure there's a team behind you as well and everybody involved.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'm so looking forward to chatting to you again on air and just to continue to hear about the story. I wish I had a lot more time with you. Maybe you can just give some details to our listeners. And then I want to play a song for you and the Father's Heart community. I think you inspired just earlier in the conversation. I'm going to play a song for you, but just give us those details quickly.
Okay. People can, if they want to check us out, they can go to our Facebook or Instagram page at the Father's Heart TD, and then of course our website. We try and keep as relevant as possible with what's going on. It's www.thefathersheart.org.za. And then if anybody who's listening on the air who feels stirred to partner with us in any way, shape or form, whether on the building project side or financially or volunteering, they are welcome to email info@thefathersheart.org.za and then we'll make contact with them.
It's as simple as all of that. So, Jill, I'm going to play a song by Israel Houghton and New Breed. It's a song called Not Forgotten, and I think that will speak to you and to the people you serve. And thank you for doing what you guys are doing. God bless you. God bless the works of your hands and whatever you put your hands
to. Thank you so much, Marco.
And may He enlarge your tent pegs even more. I think you deserve that. And so thank you for making time to chat to me. Till next time, God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you too. Appreciate it. Eh? Have a good one. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Changing lives for good. CCFM 107.5.